Good morning. It is a little cool, but it's beautiful weather, really. I was just discussing with my wife recently that, excuse me, I might just pop that down there, that when we were both younger, we loved the winter. But as we're getting a bit older, it's nice just to sit in front of the fire, isn't it? And warm up. But nevertheless, the seasons are great, and we have a great God, and we're here to worship him this morning and to look at his word. So let's just pray, shall we, before we start this morning. Our God and Father, we thank you for this time of worship and praise. We thank you for your great love for us, and we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that it's true, completely inspired. And our God, as we come to your word this morning, we ask that you'd give us perhaps a new understanding in certain areas. Just give us encouragement, conviction if necessary. And Heavenly Father, we just ask for your blessing as we study your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's happened again. My Bible's fallen to pieces again. I'm sorry about that. I do have a new Bible. And next time I come, if I can come and preach again sometime, I'll bring my new Bible, okay? that's good. Excuse me. I'll get organized in a minute. Our life of faith. Friends, as we come this morning to study the Word of God, as we think about faith, this morning, I just like for us to not only be encouraged, but to perhaps step out in faith in some area of our lives personally. That'll be the challenge this morning, but to just see what God has to say to us. Of course, the Christian life from beginning to end is a life of faith. We come to Christ in faith. That's how it all starts. And as 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 says, obtaining as the outcome of our faith the salvation of our souls. So not only coming to the Lord Jesus in faith and being saved, being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, living our life for him now, but one day going to be with him and then one day having new bodies. Can I say that again? One day having new bodies like the body of Jesus. Won't that be wonderful? No more pain, no more suffering in that sense. We'll have a body like unto the body of Jesus one day. And that's really special. Hebrews 11 verse 1, thanks Jason, you read that well, even without your glasses. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You know, it's really encouraging that as we come as a fellowship of believers like this and meet together in a special way for worship and praise and studying God's word, we actually come in faith. Our whole lives need to be characterized by faith, believing that we're not only God's children, but we do have a home in heaven. It's encouraging too that as we look at this topic here this morning, that God tells us in verse 6, part of that passage that Jason read to us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God wants us to be people of faith. Well, firstly this morning, let's look at this very important aspect of faith, salvation through faith. Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast. So we're saved by God's wonderful, wonderful grace. But how does that happen? Through faith. We believe God. We trust God. We confess our sins. We come to the Lord Jesus in that whole context of faith. Believing that he's died for us on Calvary, knowing that he's died for us on Calvary. So that's where it all starts. By grace, through faith, no works at all. Let's just pause for a moment and think about that. It's all of God. Salvation is all of God. He's the one who has known us from eternity past. And it's important for us to understand that we can't work for our salvation. It's all of God and it's not of us. But of course, after salvation, works are important. Those works that God has already planned for us. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we can't do good things to be saved. We can't work for it. We come in faith. It's a free gift from God. But after we become Christians, after we trust Jesus personally, we need to walk in those works that God has already planned for us from eternity past. In obedience to him, we need to stay in the Word of God and stay close to the Lord Jesus and live our lives for him. But it's all a life of faith. Secondly, we receive the Spirit through faith. The Galatian letter to the Galatian church that Paul wrote was for many reasons to encourage them, but also to make sure that they understood that the false teachers amongst them, there were false teachers there in the church in Galatia, to really help them to understand that those false teachers were telling them things that weren't true. You know, it's, I guess we look at Scripture and we think, yeah, there are lots of false teachers in some of those churches, false apostles, all those things happening. But friends, even in our day and age, especially when we're just seeing the end times really unfold right where we are now, there are false teachers. There are those who are trying to break down the Word of God. There are new movements across the world where they're actually reinterpreting the passages of Scripture. The devil's working really, really hard to break down all that we have. But of course, he's a defeated foe, isn't he? And we can claim that victory that is ours in Jesus. Stay close to Jesus and stay in the Word of God. So Paul was saying to them, be careful that you don't listen to some of these lies and these Judaizers. They were Jews and they were Christians. They'd been converted, apparently, but they were teaching that justification by faith was not how it really was. They were teaching that some of the Jewish rituals and some of the things, circumcision and stuff like that, had to be there. So along with salvation by faith, they were saying, all these things need to be there in your life too. And of course, that's not true. As we come to the Lord Jesus, we just come as we are. We're wonderfully saved and we can't work for our salvation. And in fact, we can't work to keep our salvation. It's God who keeps us, the Lord Jesus who keeps us. And it's a life of faith. And so Paul says, this is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? We can't go into it this morning. We don't have time, but there are those sort of things happening, even in the fringes of the evangelical church. And as I said, the devil is working really hard to upset things and to try and take away that faith relationship and to supplant that with other things. And friends, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us the moment we trust Jesus. And that's through faith. So not only salvation through faith, but the Spirit through faith. And I think I shared this verse with you last time I was here, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. So it's all by faith. Whatever we receive from God, we trust him for that. And salvation is a free gift from God. Thirdly, righteousness through faith. It's a wonderful thing. We're just going to kind of unpack that whole idea of righteousness and what that means for us as believers. Galatians 3, verses 6 and 7. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Well, we're sons of Abraham through faith. Well, really what it's saying, following in the footsteps of Abraham, just like Abraham, we need to trust God in faith, Jew and Gentile. You see, there are Jews in Israel that are trying to live in the past. They don't know Jesus, so they're not saved. But there are other Jews around in Israel, here in Australia, and around the world, who are Messianic Jews. That's what we call them, Messianic Jews, Jews that have trusted Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. And so it doesn't matter who we are, where we are, Jew or Gentile, the important thing is to have our sins forgiven and enter into that life-changing relationship with the Son of God, knowing that we have a home in heaven, knowing that in this life we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit who convicts us and leads us and guides us right through our life, this life of faith. But in the next slide, we just need to talk about three aspects of righteousness. This is so important to understand what the Word of God says about what happens when we come to know the Lord Jesus in this aspect of God's righteousness for us. Well, firstly, which is fairly clear, of course, we have our righteousness in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible tells us, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, friends, our Lord Jesus was 100% man and 100% God in the same entity, the same person. And it is an incredible thing, and I've read these things, and I've heard people say these things, preachers from mainly overseas, some of the things that you hear, of course, I'm sure it would be happening here in Australia too, that sometimes people will say that when Jesus died on the cross, he became the greatest sinner the world has ever known. Now, of course, that's not true, because Jesus was never a sinner. He bore our sins on Calvary. He took the burden of your sin and my sin fully upon himself. As David was sharing with us, as that happened, and as the Lord Jesus was punished for our sin, God turned his back on him, and that's why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He had never known that separation like that as such. But he was a sinless man. That's why he could die for our sins. So he didn't actually become a sinner, but he took upon himself that sin, the sins of the world, and died in our place. And the Bible also tells us that he had to become like us, flesh and blood, the incarnation, as the Virgin Mary bore a son, God's son. And he was man and he was God, but he was never a sinner himself, but he bore the punishment in our place as our substitute for our sin. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing? Also, what took place on Calvary was a transaction. And the moment we trust Jesus as our personal Saviour, that transaction takes place for us. And here's the transaction. That when the Lord Jesus died on Calvary, he took our sin upon himself. And the moment we trust Jesus, we receive that righteousness of Christ, Jesus who lives in us, and the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Now, we're not righteous in ourselves. We're sinners saved by grace. But the Bible says that we've received that righteousness, and that's how we can get to heaven. When God looks at us, the moment we trust Jesus, when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of his Son. And the wonderful transaction that takes place is so important. And then we move on to what's called sanctification in our lives as we go on and trust Jesus, becoming more like him. Sometimes it's a bit like a yo-yo going up a hill, as we might be using a yo-yo and walking up a hill. Sometimes we take a step backwards, but we then take two steps forward and we move on with God. Sinners saved by grace, so we need to live consistently with who we are in Christ. We'll never be totally righteous by any means this side of heaven. We're still sinners saved by grace, but our lives need to be characterized by righteousness. You know, not that long ago, I can remember talking to a group of friends and some family members, and I was talking about the sort of things that really should change as we come to the Lord Jesus. And a couple of Christians in that group were telling me that they understand that there's a new theology going around, and it's not really new, it's old. It was probably back there with Paul as well. And this is the new theology, that you can be saved, and because you're saved by God's wonderful grace, then you can kind of just continue on doing the things of the world and really not having victory over sin and using the language of the world and just doing what the world does. But because God has lavished his wonderful grace upon you, that covers the sin anyway. You might think that sounds strange, but as I talk to these people more, that's actually what was being said about this. About these groups of people. I can't be more explicit than that. So we need to be changing. We're new creatures in Christ. We go on becoming more like Jesus. Maybe a step back, a couple of steps back, but then always moving forward as the Spirit of God leads us on for him. And so that righteous living is so important too. I just want to pick up a very important point, and I just wanted to share with you something that was part of my life. When I was in primary school, I actually was in primary school, kids. It might be hard to think when you see the grey hair and so on, but yeah, I was in primary school. My dad was a head teacher in country schools around Queensland, and one of the schools that my father was at, it was a two-teacher school at Laravale. Who knows where Laravale is? Got anyone? One person? Okay, good. It's near Bedeset. Well, it's down from Bedeset, a bit near Rathdowney. Have you heard of Rathdowney? Okay, it's not far from there. It's a lovely school at Laravale, right on top of the hill. And I have some wonderful memories of Laravale. Some of you will definitely know Ralph Cameron, won't you? Hands up if you know Ralph Cameron. Good. Ralph Cameron was a pastor at the Bedeset Baptist Church, and Laravale is probably about half an hour from Bedeset, or just a bit over half an hour. And I was at Laravale School, and Ralph Cameron would come and do the RE. Of the religious education at the school. And not only that, but while I was at the school, my dad wasn't a Christian. My mum was a very strong Christian, a very strong woman of faith. But sometimes she couldn't go to church for various reasons, and I didn't get to Sunday school for various reasons. And I remember that from the Bedeset Church, where Ralph Cameron was the pastor, there were two brothers. I actually probably think it was the Stain brothers, but I'm not sure. It's a long, long time ago. And they'd come, I'm not sure what it was. It was a ute. You'd never be allowed to do this nowadays, but they'd come with a ute and they'd pick all the young people up, and we'd just sit in the back of the ute, open ute. And they'd take us to Sunday school. I think it was the Rathdowney School, and underneath the school, after school, it wasn't a Sunday. It was a Sunday school during the week, especially those children who couldn't get to Sunday school normally. And we'd have Sunday school there. And not only that, but they organised certain events. And one of the events that they organised was a trip for all the young people to go to Mount Barney and a sleepover. It was pretty cold, Ted, when we slept over. We weren't in tents even. We were just in big tarps or underneath big tarps, just sleeping out. But I can't remember what time of the year it was, but it was pretty cold. But the thing that I really remember was when we climbed Mount Barney. And that's not far away, that's near Rathdowney, and just along the Lions Road. Some of you may know the Lions Road. And we climbed this mountain, and it was beautiful. And we got up to the top of the mountain, not right at the top, I don't think it was. That probably was too dangerous. But we came to a beautiful spot where we could look and we could see this panoramic view, beautiful. But in the little rock pools, and some of them were quite small, and the tops of the rocks, it had obviously rained during the night or showered during the night, and there was this beautiful, clear water, fresh water. And when we got to the top, we were pretty exhausted, and in those days, I don't remember that we had anything with us. Maybe the leaders had some water, but everyone was drinking the water out of the rock pools. I remember that vividly, and I was a bit hesitant at first, but I thought, wow, that water looks good. And there was this little rock pool, and it had a bit of moss in it, but it looked pretty clean moss, you know, lovely green moss, and the water was crystal clear. You could just see right through it, just like a bit of clear glass. And I started to drink the water, and it was beautiful. It was refreshing. And that water, still to this day, is the nicest water I've ever had. I was very thirsty, and it quenched my thirst, and it was just so special, and that's why I remember it now. But you know, Matthew 5, 6, what does it say? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, or for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I was thirsty that day. I drank the water. I was satisfied. It was beautiful. And you and I, as believers in Christ, need to thirst, hunger and thirst, but thirst for that, if you like, that water of righteousness. And as believers, we need to not only live consistently with who we are in Christ, but we need to be striving to be like Jesus, striving to be like him. We will never be perfectly like him, of course, until we get to glory. And then the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, we know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. So this life that we live needs to be a life of faith, a life of faith that brings us closer to the Lord Jesus by just trusting him all the time. We can't see Jesus physically. We can't see God physically. God is spirit anyway. We can't see those things visually, but we know him and we love him by faith. We're not only saved by faith, but we live by faith each day. And that righteousness that comes to us, that cloak of righteousness that comes because of the transaction that took place on Calvary, we're not perfectly righteous, of course, but the righteousness of Jesus is ours. That's how we can get to heaven. And then when we get to heaven one day, we'll be like Jesus. Not in the deity sense, of course, not as God, but yes, the sinless sense when we go to be with the Lord Jesus. And finally this morning, our righteousness completed, and that's going to be with Jesus. That righteousness that was ours in Christ, living our life for him, and finally going to be with Jesus himself. Friends, where are we at this morning? I ask the question of myself, where am I at in terms of my faith relationship with Jesus Christ, my faith relationship with God? I need to ask the question, where are we at today here in the church? You know, maybe we've been going through a difficult time. Perhaps there's been times of sickness, times of separation from loved ones, perhaps losing a loved one, struggles in relationships, broken relationships. Maybe this morning we're just really struggling with who we are in the Lord Jesus. Maybe we're sitting here this morning in the church and we're thinking through the whole thing and we're thinking, I don't really know that I have a home in heaven. I'm not sure where I'm going. And friends, this morning, if you're not sure where you're going, if you're not sure that you have a home in heaven, you can be sure. As we close this service, we'll just have a time of quiet prayer. And if you're not sure that you have that relationship with Jesus, you're not sure where you're going, you may know that you don't have that relationship, then you can enter into that relationship this morning in simple faith by confessing your sins and trusting Jesus personally. But if we're a Christian here today and perhaps we've been struggling, perhaps we've been spending too much time in the world. Now, we have to live in the world, but not of the world, of course. But perhaps there's been some of that worldly stuff rubbing off. It can happen to every one of us. Perhaps this morning you need to come to the Lord Jesus in a fresh way and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to really bless me this morning. Lead me on for you. Take away those worldly things and help me glorify you in my life each day. Let's just have a time of prayer as we come to our God this morning. We're just going to have a time of quiet prayer. And this morning, if you just want to pray in your heart and your mind and trust Jesus this morning in a very simple way, simple faith, we come to him in faith. It's God who saves. We may need to confess our sins and come to Jesus. Or if we're a believer this morning, just open your heart to God afresh today. Help him to, we're going to ask God to bless you, but let's just pray quietly in our hearts. Our Father, we thank you that you have heard our prayers. We thank you, our Father, that you not only hear our prayers, but you answer our prayers. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for that wonderful sacrifice of Calvary. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you that you died in our place for our sins. We thank you that we can have new life in you. And so, our Father, today help us leave this service to be encouraged, but more than that, to walk out in unconditional faith, trusting you for every step we take. Heavenly Father, help us to have a strong faith. And we ask for your blessing, and we pray this in the strong name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.